Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, July 31st, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Cranky Lee!
Oh, you are so not a Monday morning kind of guy.
I am when I'm all riled up. No, wait, you're right, when I'm all riled up.
Yeah. But, you know, your tense mood typically translates to great entertainment for everyone else. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, John Bartolaro, how are you?
I'd be a happy person.
Oh, I love your completely random accent. It's just like the best ever. Anyhow, I'm glad that you be a happy person. You know, Brian, since you're already wound up, we might as well just jump right in to China.
China. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so here's the deal. Apple has pulled VPN from the App Store.
No, really?
In China. And the reason that they have done that is that they are in compliance with Chinese laws that prohibit unlicensed VPN tools. And, excuse me, and so anything that's not actually a government-sanctioned tool is not a licensed VPN.
And by government-sanctioned VPN tool, we, of course, mean a government-filtered, censored, controlled, and strained.
Right.
VPN tool.
So this does not help people in China who are trying to work around government eavesdropping and censorship. All right,
so this is super freaking tricky, man. This whole thing is super freaking tricky. First of all,
it is.
I loathe the Chinese government. If you have to keep your people from knowing things to keep control of them, you're doing things wrong. Okay, that's where I start. Let's go back to search engines and Western search engines. Google and Microsoft's Bing, of course. Mm-hmm. They were both told to censor their content in order to censor search results in order to meet the authoritarian communist regime's control regulations. Mm-hmm. And what happened? Bing said, "You betcha, sir," and sanctioned stuff. And Microsoft pulled out of China.
Yeah, they pulled their offices out of China.
They just pulled out. They just shut down. They said, "Okay, see ya." And I still give Google and then what Google ended up doing was redirecting Chinese search traffic to the Hong Kong search engine, which will eventually be subject to the same controls, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But that traffic just redirects where, and Hong Kong's search engines traffic isn't censored yet. So I give Microsoft no credit, and I give Google all the credit for that. Mm-hmm. And well, now here we are with Apple. Apple has been subject to many of the same kinds of things when it comes to content in the App Store. China forced Apple to shut down the movie and video stuff, right?
Right.
And they have had great controls placed over Apple in terms of the content that's allowed in the App Store, essentially making Apple a complicit partner in their command and control authoritarian censoring.
You know, interesting that you use complicit, because I did in my piece. I said that Apple is complicit.
Compliant would be a better word.
Yeah, it's complicit, man. It is complicit. But
I did use comply also, John.
But here's the deal.
I'm going to disagree with you, Brian, in a second.
Well, go ahead and disagree, because I'm about to take us off in a weird direction.
Well, the way I analyze these is I reverse the situation and I say, if U.S. law said it was illegal to do such and such, and some foreign country were doing business here, and the country said, no, we're going to upend your government, we're going to change your ways, we're going to fly in the face, we won't be complicit or compliant, and we're just going to, you know, violate U.S. law, we would get very annoyed. And
wait a minute, though. We'll start with the principle of what's being regulated, controlled, outlawed, legalized. If the U.S. is going to be outlawing and censoring content, then I would expect U.S. companies to be fighting that, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it's cultural. Western mind make Western decisions about freedom, and Eastern religions and Eastern minds make decisions about foreign interference and how they want to run their country. And Apple is going to do business and be a cooperating partner with the Chinese and do business with them, then it seems reasonable for Apple to, instead of just trying to whine and bitch about China's policies, comply with their law and live to fight another day. Well, there's no winning. There's no winning other than pulling out Apple, pulling out of China completely.
So you think that Steve Ballmer made the better choice then? So you're a big Steve Ballmer fan is what I'm hearing. That's all I'm getting out of this.
Okay, I'm going to toss another idea out here. One that I hope is more accurate, and it's that Apple is playing a longer game here. They know that if they don't comply with this law, that China's just going to shut them down in the country.
Right.
And so that means no App Store, probably no iPhone sales. And that is not a path Apple wants to go down, and certainly not a path the shareholders would be happy with. So put someone in China that can be in regular communication with the government and then start working with other companies to try and change the laws in the country. In the United States, we have a system where it's – you're less likely to have your entire business shut down while you're litigating what's whether or not it's legal to do something. You're like put back doors into software, but it's a little rougher in China. So
yakety yakety yak. All I know is that we were all for what Google did, and we were all criticizing what Microsoft did back at this.
Yeah, but that's sort of 7 or 8 years ago. Shoot from the hip. Reaction that doesn't take into account.
No, you know what
Apple's
it is?
It's real responsibilities and difficulties.
We're defending Apple here, but here's where I'm going to take it all in a weird direction.
Okay,
because the reality is that you guys are right. Apple can either comply or Apple can shut down or be shut down. One of the two. And if Apple is shut down, of course, there could possibly be a shareholder.
I would expect maybe a big shareholder lawsuit.
I would always prefer to see Apple and every other company do what's right to Google. But Apple would have to pull out, and Apple would be shut out of China, at least to a certain extent. I mean, China has made it very clear that they don't really care about the 1 million or 2 million people that are making Apple products in terms of the workforce. If push comes to shove, they'd rather have the command and control than they would have those jobs. And the current Chinese regime has made it very clear that they're going to push Chinese interest and push Chinese industry at the expense of Western industry every single time, whenever they possibly can, which is one reason why Apple is a lot more interested in having Foxconn and itself own factories here in the United States and in other parts of the world, including Brazil. So this is certainly complicated. I don't know what I would do if I were Tim Cook. I hate it. I hate that they have to do this. I hate that it's a requirement in the first place. But here's another question. Can people still use a VPN without having a ready-made, easy-to-use app on their iPhones?
Not easily. China has been making changes to their Great Firewall, which is making it more difficult. However, if you have an App Store account outside of China, so in another country, even if you're in China, you can still get at VPN apps. So it's possible still to use a VPN, but it's becoming more difficult all the time.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is tricky as can be. If to a certain extent, I think that Apple was always headed towards this. Of course, when Apple really started making its big investments in China, there was a much more Western technology friendly regime in power. It's the current leadership that has been sort of going back on opening up to Western industry. In other words, this wasn't the case when Apple got into business. To wit, there were VPN apps,
right?
They had to be pulled. So no, the whole thing is tricky. I don't like the idea of Apple or any other Western company being complicit in China's censorship.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with this either. And when I tossed out my scenario, I wasn't trying to be an Apple apologist. What I was trying to do was come up with a plausible scenario that would explain why Apple would be okay doing this now.
Well, to John's point and to your point,
they kind of
Apple has to do it or be shut down.
Yeah, I guess what and I was so
you
trying
guys,
to do
you guys are entirely right about that.
Yeah. So I guess what I was trying to do was find a way to make me feel better about what they were doing. And coming up with a scenario where they're playing a longer game.
Well, that's really part of it, isn't it? It's our emotional reaction to the dissonance with our culture. And then there's the practical realities of being the CEO of Apple and making business decisions. Two different things.
Yeah. It still sucks.
Yeah, it does.
You know, one way for Apple to address this in a passive-aggressive way would be to give up the App Store. And open up Chinese iPhones to third-party app stores that are under the censorship of China.
I'm
not advocating that happen, but it would make Apple markedly less complicit in this bit of censorship.
I don't think so. I think that would leave them just as complicit. Because at that point, what they're saying is, you know what? Here, China, you control these iPhones any way you want.
No, what they're saying is we're not going to operate an app store under these conditions. And so our Chinese customers are free to download apps from other parties.
And see that
it's not going to happen. Don't get me wrong. It's not going
to
happen.
But that still feels complicit to me. I think if Apple were to say we're not going to support this, there is no app store. And that's the end of the sentence. Which is not going to happen either. Then they're resisting China. They're not being complicit because now they're not allowing China to have any control over the apps.
Well, the other thing we have to remember that Apple has spent in, I think, several different areas, both transportation and research and development, billions of dollars of research investment committed to China. And Apple has that leverage as well.
That doesn't they seem like maybe, it's done very much good for the VPN
well, they,
space.
It's maybe using it behind the scenes in ways we don't know.
I think the current leadership in China has made a very savvy bet on advancing locally homegrown technology. And they have done so in a way that has yielded tremendous results. And I believe that China, I don't think that Apple's investments in Didi or it's the R&D facilities that they've established in China. I don't think any of these things. I don't even think, like I said, the 1 million, maybe 2 million people are working to make Apple devices, if you count the entire supply chain that operates in China. And I believe that the current government would sacrifice all of that in a heartbeat if they felt that their own nationalist interests would be advanced further by doing so. I don't think Apple's able to buy itself anything with the money that it's spent.
I think you're right. And I hate to say that, but I think you're right. We're kind of running out of time, so I'm going to move us on to the other thing that I wanted to talk about today. My guess is we'll be coming back to this, and my guess is our listeners probably have some comments on this too, so let me know what you think. We'll talk about it on the show again. Shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. Send me messages on Twitter, @TMODaily, and leave comments in the show notes. And I'll make sure that when we do it on a day where Brian's all riled up. That's the best way to do it.
You should. Yeah.
And if you're not riled up, I know what buttons to push to get you riled up for the show.
John, yes, you do, bastard.
I do. Yeah, I love you too. John, you on Friday in Particle Debris, you talked about where Apple's innovation is, and what you said is that it's not really what we think it is. So what did you mean when you said that?
Well, I'll point to the sentence that one of the readers called out and blessed, and it was at the beginning of the article, and I said there are several ways to define innovation, and I think that contributes to an enduring misunderstanding. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of people sort of offhand, first blush, define innovation as a startling, breathtaking, unexpected product pulled out from behind a curtain, Steve Jobs style, one more thing style, that sends quakes through the community, boosts Apple's income, has everybody's amazed and in awe and talking about for a long time. That's one way to define innovation. And we kind of got used to that from the era where Steve Jobs was the master showman, was trying to present Apple as a company that was imaginative and resurgent because he had to save the company. But another definition is a more subtle and more sophisticated application of technology. It involves using the infrastructure that you have, finesse in engineering, original thinking in your engineering, and attacking problems in new ways with the technologies that you've developed to solve problems and help customers in ways that haven't been done before. And we're seeing that in health, and we're seeing that in AR Kit, and we're seeing it a little bit in iOS 11 and the Macintosh technologies. But they don't have that starburst effect that people would like to see for emotional reasons. But they're still very innovative. They're just not as flashy, and they don't turn the company on a dime. They just contribute to what a $200 billion company is already doing, and adding incrementally on top of that new efforts, new solutions, new ways to make customers' lives better. So that's what the article was about.
All right. So tell me the innovations that you see that are big.
Well, I could make a list.
I know. I totally just put you on the spot.
AirPods, HomePod, ARKit, HomeKit, HealthKit, advances in photography, 100 billion operations in a tenth of a second to make breathtaking photos. I don't think people appreciate the power and the creativity and the engineering that goes into constructing a photo on your phone. We tend to think of photographic film where, you know, the lens opens, boom, there's a photo. But there's a whole lot of software and processing that's going on there to manage that image and to do things that make us look like brilliant photographers. Another is Apple's research and development and blood glucose measurement, which is going to be stellar. All the things that Apple's doing with HealthKit.
Wait, if they can bring it to market, which I think they can, but there's
definitely an if in there right now.
And when they do, and I'm certain they will, people will say, oh, I knew they could do it all along. We've been writing about this for years. This isn't real innovation.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because we already knew about it. It wasn't some surprise pulled out of a box. But because they've been working on it for years, it's a tough problem.
Okay, so do you think that maybe part of the problem people have is that they're equating a huge flashy product announcement with innovation?
Yep, and I think that some observers in the press would like us to believe that myth so that they can bash on Apple for not being very innovative lately. Serves their purposes.
All right. Brian, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think kind of along the same lines that John's going on here is that there's so much that Apple does that they don't really talk about, and they make it sort of look easy. And so we end up not noticing, especially the Apple haters and the people who think that copying is akin to innovating. It is in fact easy to miss a lot of what Apple does. And, you know, I always love these pieces by John when he draws our attention to these things.
Yes, me too. Yeah. All right. Well, of the technologies that you listed where Apple is innovating right now, the one that I'm the most excited about, and this is going to sound crazy, is ARKit. Because I've been the guy that's just been all blah about AR and VR for quite a while. But what I'm seeing with ARKit looks very intriguing. So I'm very excited to see where this goes. Once developers can start releasing AR-related apps for iOS 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we're kind of out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up.
That went fast.
I know. Well, it always does, because we always have so much fun. John, thank you for being here today.
Always my pleasure.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Cranky McCranky McCrank pants.
Those are my favorite pants for you to wear.
I'd be happy to.
Oh, bless your little heart. Wow. Listeners, thank you for being here as well. And
hi, Brian.
Oh, John, you just spread the love everywhere, don't you?
Brian.
Yes.
Bye, Brian.
Bye, John.
All right. I'm just going to play the outro music so we can wrap this up. And listeners, thank you for being here. See you again tomorrow.